For SearchSAP.com, I'm Rob Westervelt. You're listening to the Skills and Certifications Edition for August 30th, 2006. In this edition, we talk to David Foote of Foote Research about his latest skill and certification pay research. David is seeing talent skirmishes developing among SAP pros. David tells us about skill pay trends in the enterprise app business application area, as well as WebSphere and NetWeaver skills, and how application development programming languages are doing in terms of growth and value. David, welcome to the program.
It's great to be back.
Why don't we start off with how you actually conduct your research on skills and certifications, and how our listeners can get a hold of this research?
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at compensation, traditionally it's been salaries, but you know, there's this problem with salaries that we figured out that we saw coming. It's been around for years, which is that people's titles don't match what they do in IT. It's a big problem, and salary surveys tend to be organized by title. And what's happened is that companies have said, well, you know, if we really look at IT workers and we look at them as other than just, you know, sort of job-titled people, they're really a combination of skills. And you know, we saw this coming a long time ago. So in 2000, that companies eventually would need to get information on what individual skills pay, because they're having to make all kinds of adjustments. I mean, you don't want to lump in ABAP developers with COBOL programmers, but companies do that. It's very funny how that happens. So what we did is we went out and discovered that people were paying for skills. And in the year 2000, we began publishing updating four times a year, the value of various certified, non-certified skills. And at this point, we're up to 242 of them, pretty much split midway. And that's called our Hot Technical Skills and Certification Pay Index. And the beauty of that is that we can, you know, we could do a webcast with you every 3 months, and we'd have different headlines as to what was happening, because, you know, salaries are not dynamic the way skills are. They really do. Companies really do invest in them and have short-term strategies. And they're paying them in two ways. They're either paying them as bonuses, or they're adjusting base pay in the case of titles that don't match very well. And the dominant practice now is to adjust pay and base pay, and add in, you know, pay for individual skills, certified and non-certified, and usually there's one or two that would dominate any one position. So we can talk today easily about, you know, ABAP skills versus Oracle, you know, versus, you know, ERP skills or you know, architecture skills, project management. So it makes for good conversation too.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody wants to get a hold of your material, Do they go to your website?
Yeah, they can go to footpartners.com. There's a section on there where you can go right into skills pay versus our salary surveys, and there's a number of ways you can pick up skills pay. But we publish a big report. It's about 210 pages at this point, which will take you through three data points for every certification or skill. Again, there's 242 of those, so we can give you 10th, 50th, and 90th. And what that means is we can give you what data on what 80% of the people that are earning skills, for instance, in you know, SAP payroll module, you know, pretty much what 80% of the people are in the United States and in Canada are earning for that. It turns out to be a North American report, because it turns out that there's no statistical geographical difference with skills pay the way there is with base pay. And it's the same in Canada as it is in the U.S. It's a very interesting discovery that we made. It functions very differently than base pay.
Mm-hmm.
Which obviously is very much by geography.
Now, why don't we dive right into some of your research, some of the latest trends that you've been tracking, and one of them is on skills pay, finding its way back into workers' paychecks and
non-certified skills.
Non-certified skills. Can you explain that? You said you've told me off-air that you've been tracking this for some time.
Yeah. Well, you know, during the recession, those recession years, it turned out that companies were not paying bonuses as much. In fact, they were really trying to do whatever they could not to have to pay people large salaries. They were really, budgets were under pressure. And during those days, if you could show that somebody was certified, actually had taken a test or been through a lab, you could make a pretty persuasive argument to a CFO or a control person that this person might be justified in a pay adjustment because they had done something. And that completely skirted the argument as to whether certified people are better qualified than non-certified. I just think a lot of companies had invested in people blindly and just taken their word for the fact that they had, 5 years of SAP skills, but they might have had them in four different companies. And
why would they do that?
Why would companies make that mistake?
Yeah.
Well, because they were hiring like crazy. I think they were just saying, my God, if we wait 6 months to invest in skills, they're going to cost a lot more, so why don't we stockpile them now? So they would basically, as I was pointing out, they would say anyone who has 5 years of SAP skills will hire you, but if you've had 5 years in one company and have been through several full life cycles of product development versus being like a consultant in four companies where you never saw a project through from beginning to end, that's a different kind of experience. Because as you know, it's not just the skill, it's how you've applied it, how you've worked with people in teams, how you've produced things, how you've done customer requirements, how you've, once you're in the first generation of the software, how you've, changed the second generation. But frankly, it's come down to the idea that you've got to hire people not just with the technical skills, but with certain industry experience. Mm-hmm. Experience with customers, experience, again, working on project teams. I mean, it's not just the technical skills, and I think that's what's happened in the year 2006, that companies have realized that they need to invest in the whole person, and technical skills is part of it, but they're really looking more for needles in haystacks now. They want people that have had experience in the industry with customers and maybe on the specific, solution. And when hiring, gets to that point, they're looking at soft skills, hard skills, industry skills, customer skills, and you need all of those with things like SAP. I think you're looking at individuals. I mean, right now, ABAP developers in the United States across 63 cities that we currently survey, they're averaging $82,000 in base pay, and their range is 74 to 92. Senior ABAP developers are ranging in pay from 81,000 to 102,000, and their average is about 91 right now. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And senior SAP analysts right now are averaging just under $100,000 a year in pay. That's pretty good. Okay, so the idea is you're compensating people well, and what you want to get is you want to get something more than just a kind of a bunch of tool sets. You want to get people who understand how to produce results.
Since you mentioned ABAP skills, why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
What sort of trends are you seeing? And a few years ago, we were talking about them being those particular skills being outsourced to India.
Well, there's still outsourcing happening, mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that companies are not investing here as well. I mean, the outsource, that's almost a webcast or podcast all by itself to look at how offshoring is impacting IT in general. Where the real action right now is, it seems, in enterprise business applications. In our surveys, we have a category of skills called that. They're primarily non-certified skills. But what's really doing well now, right now, from a sheer pay point of view, are certain SAP modules, payroll, the PS module, the project systems, the human resource, the HR module. They're all paying on average 10% or more percent of base pay or more, and that's a nice bump in pay if it's an adjustment to base pay or paid as a bonus. You look at the other modules, the ones that we cover, mm-hmm. the CA, the CO, well, the CO and the FI kind of go together in a lot of companies, the SD, the sales and distribution, these are all averaging right now, or at median, about 9% of base pay, but they're all ranging in the 7 to 11% range. And that's not bad when you look at the fact that across all non-certified skills, the average across all of them is 7.4. These are paying above average.
Mm-hmm. And has that been an ongoing trend? Have they been paying above average?
Well, they've been paying well. Last year, we've been covering SAP salaries for quite a long time, and also SAP and ABAP pay. And what's interesting is, we had a couple of modules in there, but we began getting a lot of calls from companies saying, you know, if you could split that out by module, we're paying more for certain modules. And that was a very interesting revelation for us. We didn't realize that that was happening, that companies were willing to pay more for payroll or PS people than they were for, you know, for SD or APO or the quality management people. But they're differentiating pay very much by module now, not just for SAP, you know, ABAP developers versus everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was something that we learned in the last year. So we know that when something like that is going on, that kind of pay differentiation, you know, there's talent wars happening. They're looking for talent.
Now, is that specific to just SAP, in the pay being the compensation going to specific modules being different for each module? Is that just an SAP trend?
Well, that is an SAP trend. I mean, I guess if you're saying, are there similar trends with other applications?
Exactly. I'm thinking Oracle, possibly, or...
Actually, Oracle's been, you know, Oracle's like steady eddy in our surveys. You know, it's like Cisco. You know, these are skills that are now sort of legacy skills in organizations. They've invested a lot in them. I mean, companies have invested a lot in you know, ERP systems. They've invested a lot in SAP. And I think we're to the point now where they're saying, you know, what am I going to get back for this? Or let's just say that they're getting to the point where, you know, they're saying, you know, we're looking now for the best way to integrate the SAP Oracle software that we have into business operations.
Mm-hmm.
What we really need is really smart people to come in, understand how our company operates, be able to apply the software, you know, to the various operations we have here. And they're getting to, as I was pointing out, the second generation or, you know, the next application. They want to supercharge it. They want to go to the next level of expertise. It's the maturation model of technology. You come in, you get the skills, you begin to apply them, you begin to learn that you can save money, you can make money, you can now offer a different, you know, group of products to customers, and again, at the base of it all is revenues.
SAP executives always talk about how the waters are a little bit muddied in the Oracle world because of all of the various acquisitions with PeopleSoft and JD Edwards. And do you track PeopleSoft and JD Edwards? And
sure.
Is it in terms of the acquisitions? Have you seen any trend lines?
No, there hasn't been much. As from the point of view of skills pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, J.D. Edwards began losing, as far as skills pay, J.D. Edwards, Lawson, you know, Bond, began losing ground a long time ago as things like SAP became more popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, these are trends that preceded any of these acquisitions. I mean, that's probably why they were acquired. They got to the point where they were now attractive acquisitions from a price point. But, no, PeopleSoft is still paying, you know, 6-10% of base pay. It's average. It's median 7-8%. There hasn't been much change in that over the last couple of years. So to answer your question, no. The dynamics right now are absolutely pointing to investments in SAP. Again, companies have been investing in these skills for quite a long time. They're now legacy skills in organizations, and they're trying to, again, take it to the next level of, you know, the fine tuning. You know, how can we now integrate this software better with what we're setting out to do in our business?
Earlier this year, you had mentioned customer-facing skills as a hot area, customer-facing applications, rather. Is that an ongoing trend?
Well, yeah, and this is where sort of the Sarbanes-Oxley, you know, when we came out of Sarbanes-Oxley, I think during those years, and Sarbanes-Oxley was in 2002 legislation, so in 2003 and 2004 and then hitting in 2005, you were looking at a lot of skills requirements in infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
and security and auditing and stuff like that. And when we came out, 70% of the country, public companies in this country are on calendar years. So pretty much by the beginning of 2005, they had filed their first set of, you know, Sarbanes-Oxley compliant, you know, quote unquote compliant numbers. And then they turned their attention, I think, to other products and services. There are a lot of pent up demand and projects within customer facing products and services, and I think what we saw was a budget migration starting in 2005 and then carrying into 2006 to, again, customer-facing things, and those were heavily applications development. Companies began spending more and more on applications talent. Consequently, you start seeing annual increases of 11 to 16% in a number of application skills. And now we're not seeing those kind of numbers in skills overall. I think in the last 6 months, non-certified skills grew 5.3% in value in 6 months and 6.6% in a year. So obviously, we're looking at investments in applications far exceeding that.
Mm-hmm.
And also in enterprise business applications as well. You know, you're seeing some pretty double-digit growth where you're not seeing that at all in salaries across all of IT, nor are you seeing it in just the entire group of non-certified 120 non-certified skills, but you're seeing it absolutely in application development. They're investing in that relationship. They're building relationships. Nothing's more important than that in a lot of companies, because you know customers have become fickle. They will go with the person who can provide the best solution to them, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the company they've been doing business with for many years. They have many concerns now. Security is a good one too.
Mm-hmm.
You can lose a customer over not building enough security into your products as well. That's a whole different topic, I think, for us in this. But I think that's what's you know, pressing on the minds of executives. They do not want to lose market share over a technology issue or an issue that would be a weakness in their system, be it security or perhaps you know offshoring or outsourcing too much of the product when a lot of the customers' customer data might be in your hands. It makes them nervous.
I want to backtrack a second. You mentioned ABAP skills earlier, and I wanted to ask you about .NET and Java skills. What can you tell us about them?
Well, it's Java skills are up. Java J2EE are up a little over 14% over the last 12 months. But the interesting statistic is over the last 6 months, they're down 11%. So there was quite a run on Java skills in 2005, but that's starting to crest. Now, that doesn't mean that Java skills are not hot.
Mm-hmm.
What it does mean is that the supply might be catching up to demand. So that's the case in Java. In .NET skills, you know, off the top of my head, I don't know where .NET skills are right now. But
okay.
Perhaps, but that's where Java skills are, yes.
Let's talk about some certified skills. Applications development is increasing in value among certified skills?
It's pretty flat, actually.
Ah, okay.
In fact, it's up. Applications development tools and platforms, those non-certified skills, are up 10% for the year and 5.6% for the year non-certified. In certified, they're flat over 6 months, and they're up about 10% for the year. So, you know, the idea is over the last 6 months, that's pretty different, flat versus almost 6% growth on certified. But again, or non-certified, but I think this speaks to the fact that companies are not, you know, demanding certification. They're demanding a well-rounded individual with the technical skills, but also with industry customer solution skills as well.
So are certificate, I mean, is it still worth it to be certified in specific
sure.
areas?
Absolutely, yeah. It's just that, you have to look at certifications as very much the domain of infrastructure, systems, networking, security, you know, things like that. But the fact is there are a lot of IT skills that don't have certifications. I mean, Ethernet, that's not a certified skill. There's no dominant vendor in something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Routing, rapid application development is the highest paying skill in our survey. There's no certification in that. So it just means that the certification industry, you know, grew out of a number of vendors, largely infrastructure skills, creating a pathway for their products. You buy their products, they train you, you certify, hopefully you'll recertify and continue to use their products. That is one area of skills pay. But if you look at the IT, you know, world in general, it's not necessarily vendor-driven, as I said before. I think it's customer-driven,
mm-hmm.
much more customer-driven now. So companies are looking at the whole package when they look at somebody. They can always outsource. We've pointed out that before. We can always outsource technical skills. The degree to which you're going to outsource strategic skills and customer skills, you have to be careful with that. Companies will do it, but, of course, they're much more willing to invest internally in those skills and outsource some of the pure technical stuff that they've got to get done. And that's what's happening with jobs right now. I mean, there's a there are talent wars in certain industries happening right now because they're looking for people who really can help them in the strategic growth of companies. IT workers.
What's your definition of a talent war? Can you explain that to us a little bit?
Well, talent wars are where we see spikes in pay and demand over a very short period of time, or when we do empirical studies in addition to these statistical studies. We ask them, what are you investing in and how are you investing in it? And are you over budget from last year, and what are you increasing your budget in for the next year? We do a survey starting in July. We're doing it right now, and we ended in November. We survey about, I think we're up to a little over 700 CIOs. Mm-hmm. And when we ask them what they're investing in, how they're investing, we separate out talent from just pure technology in these areas. And if they tell us that they're staffing up in certain areas, and we ask them why, and then we say, are you having trouble finding people? They're having trouble finding talent in a lot of areas right now. Does that constitute a war? Well, I'll tell you, it constitutes a war if we start seeing base pay numbers rising faster than the overall average in IT, and there are several areas that's happening now. And we can pinpoint the wars more to certain industries, for instance, the business services industry and professional services industry. Again, the consulting industries, a lot of companies, I think, are outsourcing quite a bit. So the talent, the engines that they're outsourcing to, the Accentures, the IBM Global Services, the Capgeminis, they have to find talent, and I think that's where you see some of the real stimulation right now in companies that you're outsourcing to, those, again, business services, professional services.
Are there a lot happening
there.
Can you name a couple of other areas? You mentioned SAP being an area where that phenomenon is happening.
Well, I would come back to applications, web applications. Mm. I think there's a lot of hiring right now in areas of networking, particularly in wireless. I think the action heavily is in architecture right now. Companies are looking for people with architecture skills. Again, almost an entire podcast all by itself. Mm-hmm. But what they're finding, there's so much happening in the area of merger and acquisition and integration right now. There's quite a run right now on business analysts, project managers, architects, who are defining really the not just the short term but the long term strategy in some of this. And again, technology plugs into this. But we're saying, technology isn't the strategy. The strategy is business, and then you're looking at how can we create products and services to meet that strategy. There's a technology component to it, but I think companies struggle with saying that we don't want to overpay. We want to make sure that if we're building something in one area of our business, that we can reapply it and use it in other areas of business at one time. Nobody wants to create all these different solutions. It's like building a house, and part of your house has 12-foot ceilings, part has 9-foot, and part has 8-foot. It's not fun to live in a house like that. So I would say these enabler jobs are the hottest right now. And then within, I think, the customer-facing jobs, you have a number of a number of areas where I think applications development would be critical areas, several areas within that. But infrastructure continues to be a core job in IT as well. Security is interesting. We haven't talked about that much. But the growth of pay and security certifications, it kind of leveled out in the last couple of years. We think that's going to change. About a year from now, I think you'll start seeing a lot of pay stimulation in information security, in base pay and bonus pay as well.
Why is that?
Well, I think companies are security skill deficient and deprived, and the companies are not investing in security the way they will, and I think you're going to find that's going to come back and scare them quite a bit. I think you don't have the return on security spending that you might in applications development with customers and products and services. But security has always been an insurance policy. Well, guess what? Customers now are starting to demand that security is not simply layered on tops of the products that you're bringing them, but are built into it and part of the bottom-up, inside-out approach to developing products for them. I think what's happening is that's going to become to a kind of a crescendo in about a year, and they're going to say, look, the bottom line for dealing with us is you're going to have this level of security to make us comfortable dealing with you. Mm-hmm. At that point, I think customers will begin to move on hiring security skills. But right now, it's hard to make an argument to spend a lot of money in security for insurance purposes. You have to tie it into revenues and customers, and I think those arguments, you're going to start seeing some very persuasive arguments in the next year. But I'd say up to now, companies have been under-investing in security. The interesting thing is that I think the business services, professional services firms know this. So I think a lot of the hiring, a lot of stimulation is going to be in jobs in those industries that companies, I believe, will find it a little more comfortable to outsource security. They haven't been as much. They will be more in the next year because, again, they're so far behind right now. Mm-hmm. If you go in the average organization, they're absolutely understaffed in the area of security.
I wanted to step back a second and ask you a little bit about WebSphere and NetWeaver.
Sure.
These are the two platforms that many companies are basing their service-oriented architecture strategies around. What are you seeing with your research?
Well, WebSphere, the certified WebSphere, the IBM certified WebSphere, the WebSphere certification is up 9% over the past 6 months. It's doing quite well. It pays on average between 10 to 14% of base pay, we're finding, median about 12%, and that's up 9% for the year. NetWeaver is something we just added in the last quarter. You know, we add about 40, usually 35 to 45 new skills or certifications every year based on what customers are telling us they'd like information about, and NetWeaver, we began getting increased about NetWeaver, so we added them. So I don't know what the growth pattern would be for that.
Okay.
It's not paying as much as WebSphere, but close.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of service-oriented architecture skills, is there anything specific that you can tell us? Any specific areas?
Well, actually, we don't look at SOA at this point as a group of skills like we do with web services.
Okay.
I think that's something, you know, talk to me a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that SOA is important. Companies are beginning to invest in it. Right now, it's not a defined set of skills that I can put my finger on, like web services. It needs a little more maturation.
If you can look into your crystal ball, what do you see in terms of IT spending moving forward, especially with the economy as it is here in the United States?
Well, you know, I specialize in IT spending in human capital,
mm-hmm.
and there's no doubt about the fact that salaries that the IT industry continues to be a great career choice. Don't let anyone tell you it's not. You can debate whether the IT department is respected to the level of other, you know, departments within companies. You know, marketing, sales, operations. But the fact is that companies long ago began web-enabling their businesses, putting entire product sets, delivered by the Internet, networks, security, the infrastructure, jobs, the applications. It continues to be a core part of what businesses do. They will continue to pay very well. Salaries, again, move according to supply and demand. You know, we're in the business of trying to predict where all this is going. I can tell you that, you know, IT pay is still very healthy. It's still a great career path for people. Yes, there is a lot of outsourcing happening, but I would tell you from our surveying and my conversations are it's been one of the greatest things that's probably happened to the field because companies have literally outsourced a lot of the jobs they didn't want to do, the jobs that don't make IT fun. What's left now is more interesting work. And I will tell you that, you know, 7-8 years ago, if you asked companies, of the number of the percent of people in your IT department, you know, how many could you not afford to lose, the people that you would absolutely protect mm-hmm. at all costs from leaving? You'd hear often 10%, 15%. When you ask that question now, you hear more like 25%, 30%. So what you've done is you've created a much more focused and business-oriented IT department, important to the business, more of these multi-dimensional, sort of multi-skilled, again, hard skills, soft skills, business skills, customer skills, technical skills, and companies will fight to have the right person and retain them. So I would say in a lot of ways the jobs have gotten more interesting. They've gotten tougher to find, tougher to hold on to. To be in IT, you have to make a decision. You know, do you want to be that customer focused? Do you want to be a person who just sits in a cubicle and codes? You know, you're not going to find nearly as many of those non-customer facing jobs than customer facing jobs today. To me, it's much more interesting to be in IT now than it used to be, but it's harder, much harder.
With that, David, thank you very much for being with us. That ends this edition about skills and certification pay. Be sure to check out our previous audio downloads at searchsap.com/audio. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.